Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, this episode of Enough About Me is brought to you by HelloFresh. Thanks to HelloFresh, by the way, for supporting Enough About Me. You can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com/AboutMe30 and use the offer code AboutMe30, and you'll get $30 off your first week of deliveries, of course. Of course, Enough About Me is also brought to you by our great friends at Milton's. At Milton's, you'll be as comfortable in our stores as you'll be in our clothes. South Shore Plaza, Braintree, and Chestnut Hill Square, Chestnut Hill. The guest this week on Enough About Me, making his return, in a way, to the airwaves, I guess. We'll play some sound for them, sure, is Alex Reamer, a center of controversy a couple of months ago with the whole Brady thing. Brady's daughter called her a pissant. Huge follow nationally, huge follow at the station. We'll talk to Alex about his role, what happened there, what he thinks of the show now. Does he think he'll be back? How he's doing since then, all of it. It's good. Reamer does a good job. He also talks about Jerry and I. He thinks there's some lingering issues between the two of us. Lots to get to. Enough About Me with Alex Reamer. Look at this. Look who I'm talking to on the microphone. Alex Reamer.
I don't know.
Alive.
I forget how to talk into one of these things.
Do you ever come to the station ever?
I recorded a two outs 2 weeks ago.
With who?
Myself.
Oh, you said the solo?
What with the transgender runner, Amelia Gappin, who ran the marathon.
Oh,
yes.
Yes, I'm very supportive
yes,
of that.
Yes, it was she did great.
Did she?
She did. She did very well.
Oh, she did?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
So I don't get a lot. Well, that's not true. I get some, but I got a request from Reamer for a podcast.
Well, you and
reaching out, sort of a please.
What's that
sound we always play?
A plea for help. No. A plea for help is what I would say.
Well, we're going to hang up on you on that.
The last card I could tell. Well, I was going to be on with Dale and Holly.
Okay, can you get me a water? Yeah. All right. Do you need money? You sure? Thanks.
It's really free flowing.
What's that?
The podcast.
Yeah, it's almost like
it is outside.
Like
this guy's
talking.
Talk.
Exactly.
It is.
There you go.
It is. I feel very comfortable.
You know all the Minahan lines before he says them.
I do. Well, I'm a Kirk Minahan historian.
You are. Yes, you are.
I was not as nervous as I thought it was going to be. But you were going to hang up on
me. Nervous?
No, I'm not.
Oh, why
I thought
would
I was
you
going to be. I get nervous every time I come back.
You're wearing what looks like Kate Minahan's jacket, by the way. She has a jacket.
It's a nice one.
She's just like that.
I was going to wear my jean coat.
What size is that?
Probably a small. Zara. It's a spring jacket.
You lost all your weight, by the way.
I know. I'm down to 120.
Stress is, how much do you weigh?
Well, 120 soaking wet.
How much?
Like 145.
No more bagels?
145. No more bagels. No. A fibrous diet.
So good. So you made the request.
To come on. Well,
it was a usual boring post-show morning here on Kirk and Callahan.
Nothing happens around
zero.
Here.
What's going on?
A plea, Kirk. This is my plea. I need to get back.
Don't do this.
I have no other cards left to play. I'm on my knees. Please. Please, you have the power here.
No,
I have a lot to say. I mean, I haven't really said anything for like 3 months.
Okay.
I figured
writing?
Yes, I'm writing.
The Two Outs podcast is back.
We had an episode a couple weeks ago.
No Buck?
No, Buck was busy.
Oh, okay.
On assignment. It was the One Out podcast.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, when this thing first started, you mentioned...
Are you mad that Buck stole your idea today about the stock market column? What's up and what's down in Boston sports? That's your famous one.
I'm writing that Thursday,
are
actually.
Good,
I'm
going to
rip them off. Yes.
Good.
Well, the fans. What do the fans think? You know, we want to...
Buck likes to know what the fans think.
Patriots fans have a right to be annoyed at the situation with Belichick and Brady. I've always said that. But no, when this the whole thing first happened, you mentioned in passing, like, maybe we'll bring you on, do Enough About Me, and I registered that.
I didn't actually mean it.
Well, I took you up on it. I said, let's see if he's a man of his word.
Well,
and you are.
Once
we're
done with Trenny and Harry Minahan, we roll you in.
I enjoyed the Trenny podcast.
So when do you, if you had to predict, Alex Reamer,
yes.
You had to predict the next day, month and day and year, you'll be on the air at WEI.
Year?
On the air. Well, I don't know.
I have a long-term contract. It's not going to be year.
On the air, though, what would your prediction be?
I have no idea. I don't know.
What is management telling you?
Very little.
It seems like management... is not warm to the idea of Alex Reamer returning to the radio.
It doesn't
seem that, in my somewhat limited discussion about it.
It doesn't seem that way either. Now, I have not had extended conversations. I haven't been necessarily banging the door down because I think they know I want to get back on the air.
No, that's the right play.
State the obvious.
I want to look. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been like 3 months now, or almost 3 months to the day it happened. And it's been,
Jesus, it's right, huh?
Yeah, it's been... it's been rough. It's been a rough 3 months. You know, especially the last couple months have just been really rough. It's like you're in purgatory, you know, like I want to get back there, itching to get back, and it's just...
And nobody cares more. Nobody's more selfish or self-involved than you. So well, it's doubly
I feel like anybody would be selfish.
I know, but you're, but just means
standpoint.
Even you're a little bit like me in the way that means so much to you.
It means so much to me. It's all I think about it every day. It's all I think about.
Think about what?
Just my situation here.
Here's what you think about. You think about getting back on the Kirk and Callahan show.
You don't think about
going on with Dale and Keith.
I'd like
or
to go
the
on
midday
with Dale
guys.
And Keith.
What's the show you think about the most?
Oh, Kirk and Callahan.
Reamer at Night.
That was a great show.
The ill-fated Reamer at Night.
Well, it was kicking off.
Well, Gilroy is taking the torch and run with it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, it was Reamer After Dark.
What is that? What it's called?
Yes.
What
the official title?
When you called the Brady's daughter
pissant.
A little pissant.
A word that I have never used in conversation before.
Hey, where did that, what was the
I
thought?
I think I tweeted something like earlier that
you
week.
You did, I remember somebody.
Ironically referring to myself as a pissant.
Right, somebody tweeted that at me.
Because I was on the Brady like is washed up bandwagon because he had a bad couple games in September. So he had
you
a
called
great,
it.
December
yeah.
rather. So he had a great game against the Titans. And I said, oh, Tom Brady showed pissants like me with this game.
Right.
So it was like on the back of my mind and it just slipped out with mutt. And you have no idea how many times I've replayed that. Like, what if I didn't say pissant? What if it just said annoying? Or what if I just was like a normal person and said it was fine? The documentary was fine. Just,
I mean, were you really annoyed by her?
No, not at all.
Okay. My theory was, I don't know if I've even talked to you about this. My theory was, you're a little bit also like me in the way that when everybody thinks one way, you purposely try
Absolutely.
And think the other way. So everybody was saying that, you know, the family's cute, and I think you were looking for an angle that nobody
was trying to be the contrarian asshole. You know, like, right. I'm like, Mutt says, what do you think about? And I'm like, I gotta be an asshole here. I gotta be a dick. I gotta be the guy who doesn't like the kids, doesn't like the
right.
family, says it's all fake, you know, deep down, they're dark and disturbed.
So you said that on Friday night with Mutt?
It was a Thursday night.
Thursday night. I was surprised. I told you this subsequently. I was surprised at what a Mutt at Night Alex Reamer spot got back to me, social media. What happened to Twitter is it fell into the Patriots fan. You know the world I'm talking about?
It didn't do that until you guys played it the next morning.
No, that's not true. Not true. Because I said to Jerry before we played, I said to him, I remember saying, I'm surprised. And you know the crowd I'm talking about.
Oh, I know them well.
Obviously.
Big fans
I said,
of mine.
Boy, I'm getting like, I got like 10, 15 tweets about this, which for Mutt at Night is incredible. So we played it. And I actually, be honest, like we blasted you, but I was like, what? I have a pretty good sense of what's going to be big and not going to be big. I did not get a sense.
Well,
at
here's
all.
A question.
When the show ended Friday, I did not get a sense at all. Do you miss that?
I do.
I did not get a sense at all on Friday that this was going to be, say, the biggest story in the country 72 hours
later. Here's
a
question. So if you knew that it would turn into a huge story,
would have definitely not.
Ruined my life, you would have done it?
Never.
You would have still done
never
it?
Never once.
Yeah.
Well, I would say, here's what I'd say. Forget, if you said to me it's going to ruin your life, ruin your career, but it's going to be a huge story, it's not going to hurt us all,
you would
Brady,
do it. You would
I'd
do
probably
it.
Do it.
Yeah, I know.
I'd probably
That's
do
where
it.
You lie. And that's,
so
I
would you.
To,
I mean,
remember that. Well, the old me would have done that, maybe.
I feel like I'm too interested in new Alex Reamer then, if that's not the case.
No.
There's plenty of guys out there like that.
No.
We know we like you, and we've had our problems in the past, obviously. We got past those. But what obviously the kill shot for you was Monday.
Well, it's so weird. So you say people were tweeting at you.
You did the show Friday midday, and you never discussed it.
So here's the crazy thing. So I said it with Mutt.
That is, I think, the thing you get the point at.
Absolutely. That was the first big mistake that was made. So what happened was I did do OMF that Friday.
It was you, Glenn, and Ben Volen.
A great show. So I was engaged.
That's your last show on the radio.
Well, so I was engaged for like the first hour or so, and then I saw the tweets coming.
And they were
coming,
right?
And I'm like, and we were doing like a Mike Lombardi spot at like 12:30. I'm sitting there like, this might be the last time I'm ever on the radio.
So,
and for the last show, I think I was just in a fog.
Why
I
wouldn't you say
five words?
I got to say this.
Cowardice.
Oh.
My mindset wasn't, it's stupid, because I've written online for a long time. I know that when...
Oh, that's a lot. I mean, you know
how
it works.
I know when something is that big on Twitter, it doesn't go away.
Correct.
But, like, stupidly, I'm just like, you know, it's 12:30, 1 o'clock, 1:30 on a Friday. It's just a Twitter thing. Maybe nobody will pick it up, and it'll just go away.
It got big. I remember talking to Zarbano. I was up in Maine. I was actually...
I called you, and the first thing you said was, welcome to my world.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Panic.
I remember talking to Joey. And I was like, this is going to be big. Like, I feel like this is going to be big. And then Barstool picked it up. And once that happens, the game's over.
Well, Barstool, here's what I think we were all playing defense from the start, right? So I said it Thursday night. We left the audio up there through late Friday afternoon, which is why it was able to be tweeted out online. Barstool had the audio. So I think, myself included, obviously, all playing defense from it. So then Barstool does their story Friday afternoon.
Yep.
I'm out for the weekend. But then the weekend starts and nobody else picks up on it. And it still is rolling on Twitter. I'm getting tweets like, to quote you, a million a minute.
Yes.
Like, really.
Oh, I was getting them too.
And I'm like,
you're going to have this guy on. You're still going to have this asshole on.
In the back of my mind, I'm like, really? Like, this is. And then we get to Sunday night. I'm getting ready to go to Minnesota for the Super Bowl. And I'm like, I feel like another shoe has to drop here. I'm like, I am shocked that Barstool is the only like website that's written about this. So then Brady's on with you guys. I'm in a hotel with Ryan Hannibal at some airport Marriott. You know, you could smell like the chlorine in the lobby of this joint. I wake up.
Oh, across the street from the Mall of America? So we stayed at.
Yes, I was there for like 12 hours.
It was the worst Marriott I've ever stayed in. I love Marriotts. That's the worst Marriott in America.
Like, it's going to be, you can smell like the chlorine from the indoor pool
in the
lobby.
It's like a 1972 hotel.
It's a good scene.
So we had Brady, and you know, you've done shows with us with Brady.
I did. I asked if he was hungover after New Year's.
Right. And you know, we have no idea when Brady's going to call in.
Well, you guys were talking about it as he was calling in.
And you've done enough shows with us to know that Brady just calls in.
Whenever.
I mean, sometimes he'll call in, Chris will say we're going to a break, but 9 times out of 10, he calls in the middle of the segment.
You know what, Tom?
And this happened to be the segment where the only segment of that show.
Yes.
We did it, and we did feel like, you know, A, we didn't agree with you, and B, Brady was on our show.
Who could have agreed with me?
Right.
It wasn't like a
take. So we're going to blast the shit out of you, which we do anyway. We'd do if you were there. Brady calls in, and miscommunication part two is I think Brady was told by people that you said it on our show.
That's my understanding is he was told right away. I think he maybe even thought one of you guys said it.
I think so too. I think that is true.
Because he said, I've always been good to you. Now, I've not heard the hang up in full. I didn't hear it live, and I don't have an issue hearing it again.
But I asked him a first question because I had no idea. I thought that Brady had been told and whatever, and you said it, and we were going to deal with it later on. But I asked Brady some question trying to be glib, and he was like,
no.
He was basically, in a nice way, fuck off.
So I get the tweet, like, Tom Brady is called into Kurt and Callahan, and at first I'm like, oh, you know what? Maybe it's over. Because I'm like, A, either Brady knows about it
We were definitely going to ask him.
You were?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Of course. It was in the news.
Yeah. Yeah, at that point it was.
You got to give, Brady's on our show. We can't talk about it, and then when he comes on, that's bullshit.
Well, that's what you guys have created.
Chicken shit, it's not
fair. Other hosts could do that, but people would call you for being hypocritical. And
I think that's deserved. I mean,
literally
the second before we're talking about it. We come on, we're like, hey, Tom, good luck, you know.
Yeah, well, you guys are in that spot.
But, you know, he does the thing, hangs up. And the minute he hung up, I was with the late John Tomasi and Mike Menansky. Jerry was not there.
The voice issues.
And the phones started, they hung up. We went right to break or whatever. We were already running late. And I turned to those guys and I said, this is going to be the biggest story in the country in 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was. It was all over everything in 10 minutes. I spent the rest of the morning pacing that airport Marriott, pacing the hallways.
Yeah, I don't, like I said a million times, I don't blame, as I said to him, I was like, I don't blame you. I get it. No problem. But I think you're right. I think he thought I said it, or Jerry said it, or you said it in the show, which didn't happen, but that doesn't matter.
No, I mean, of course. And he reacted the way any father would react. I mean,
Brady?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody would react.
Right.
Like,
but that suddenly turned the story, because I think you're right. The story would have burned out in a day or so.
Well,
it
didn't really percolate. It was on the edge. It was
I don't think it was going to really, like, you know, it was sort of starting to die a little bit, and then it just.
And it was like the perfect storm, right? So it was Super Bowl week where there were few storylines, and it's also the easiest storyline to get to, right?
Oh, like, so we did shows on it. We were doing shows at Radio Row in the morning. There were people wanting to talk to us because they thought it was on our show. And then Radio Row would start, and you'd hear the station in Texas talking about it, and you hear some guy in Louisville talking about Reamer, and we're, of course, talking about it, and you're like, this is fucking...
Well, Tangway said it was a good career move for me. He was right on the money.
How's that worked out?
Oh, excellent. Great, great, great vision. And because it's an easy storyline. Like, asshole radio guy makes fun of Tom Brady's 5-year-old daughter. Like, who could defend that?
Well, you know who would blog that out? You, if somebody else did it.
Absolutely. Right. And it was an interesting look being kind of on the other side of it, right? So a million times in my life.
Oh, the human side of Reamer?
The human side of it, yes.
Oh, good. Let's hear
it. Well, I've done, like, the futile reach out to asshole screws up for comment, right? Like, radio host is something stupid. Mm-hmm. You send an email into the abyss, like, hey, I'm just looking for comment. And it was getting all of those. You know, but the funny thing, it was relatively easy for me to tune out the coverage because I knew the story. And I'm like, I don't need to read any more about it. But
I mean, yours was much bigger than my Aaron Andrews thing. Bigger.
Wait,
but mine was big, though.
Bigger.
And I remember looking at Twitter and after a while being like, you know what, there's nothing beneficial.
This was on the level, I think, probably even a little bigger than Nappy Headed Hose.
I just think IMS was a bigger figure. It was, I don't know, he lost his job, race. I mean, I'm not going to rank him, but it was, given how much bigger social media is now, 10 years later, for sure, it was the story for two solid days of the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I remember saying on the air, I was like, Reamer's gone. Like, they're going to fire him. And I will say, we talked to Brady. Jerry and I talked to Brady Thursday, I forget. And the first thing he said right away was, is he okay? Is he doing all right? I don't want him to lose his job. Said all that, and we had a good conversation with him, and I think everything on his end was totally fine. He's pissed off for a day, and I think once he got a better understanding of what happened exactly, I think he then was okay with it, but I think he was like, all right, it happened.
And I will say this, I mean, so after it, I did email Stacey James with the Patriots, and I said, like, I really would like to reach out to Tom, send him a note, and, you know, I'll say this, I mean, Stacey James could have ignored me. I mean, like, who is this asshole? Like, I don't know, who cares? But they got back to me, they're like, if you want to send Tom a note, send it here. So I did. I don't know whether or not he read it, but I mean, the fact that he said that night, I don't want the kid fired, I don't want anything to happen to him, really kind of effectively killed the story. There were no additional chapters. I mean, of course, it remained a talker for a few days.
Yeah, but it kind of,
But that was, there was no second chapter. Right. Like, if Brady went up there and said no comment, I've already discussed that, then I think that adds another day to the story.
Yeah, or so, if he rips you again.
I know he probably wouldn't have done that. Right.
I saw Bob Kraft at the, whatever the hell the Patriots had at the Super Bowl, the one, they had like their own network there.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, the Drive for Five network?
Whatever the
one
hell
for
was.
The thumb?
Yeah. So I saw Kraft there, and we talked for a minute. And that's the first thing he said to me. He's like, is the kid okay? We don't want him to lose his job. Stacey James said that to me. That part of it, I think, you know, that they're good. I think Brady was pissed off. I think it's over, but I do understand from a business perspective, and I understand your frustration. I totally get it. We'd like to have you back on. Jerry and I have both said that. We're supportive of that. We want that to happen. But from a business perspective, I get, until they get a couple of things they need to hear, I get why, like, you wouldn't be on our show, for example.
That's fine. I understand that. But, you know, my point is, it's been like 3 months. I've been writing for 2 months, and I just feel like, you know, like, why do you... Every decision in business is a risk reward, right? And clearly management feels having me on the air right now is worth way more risk than the potential reward.
Correct.
I'm a revenue driver for the station. Like, okay, I'm a better host at night than Mark James. Well, fine, who cares? I mean, it's
correct.
Not a money-making spot.
They don't really care about that.
Right, but I would say, like, I think, you know, obviously, pardon the pun, but this... If this doesn't serve as a scared straight moment for me, then I'm totally fucked in the head.
Has it made you consider your sexuality at all?
I've had lots of women. It has been used as a pickup line a couple times.
I don't think you should be joking about that.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
People message me.
Oh, they have?
Yes.
Like what?
On Grindr, about the pissant remarks.
Oh, they like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
I mean, this will always, you're going to have a nice long career. You'll get past this. This will always be what you're known for. Always.
I don't know. It'll always be there. Like with the Aaron Andrews thing.
But even that, I feel like this was bigger than that.
Oh yeah,
you're always going to be the guy made fun of Tom Brady's kid.
Right, but you need a chance to
redeem.
Move past
you need
that.
Redemption.
You need redemption, rehabilitation.
What is your pitch when you talk? So when you walk in the program director's office or the general manager's office, and they say, Alex, give me a 30-second pitch. Why should you be on the air tomorrow?
Because I'm good at this job, and I've done the job. Things were going really well prior to this. My contract was just renewed. Yeah. I was picking up more shifts. They sent me to the Super Bowl, the only non-full-time host who went. So clearly the station felt like I was an on-air asset and had the potential to be even a greater on-air asset. Right. I screwed up big time. This was a big mistake. And also, let's be honest, this was not the first time I'd crossed the line on the air.
I'd agree with that.
This was just the first time that it really blew back. So I totally get the risk. But you have to say... I was brought back. I assume I was brought back for a reason. I was a big asset to
You're cheap.
I was, but so why not use me on? I mean, I was an asset for cheap on the air. And, you know, I have more skin in the game than anybody here, you know, to stay above board. If I screw up again like this, you know, the station will survive. I mean, it would, but I might not, you know, so I have a bigger incentive than anybody.
Okay, I've teamed up with HelloFresh, and they are offering everyone in our audience $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com/aboutme30 and use the offer code aboutme30. Look, it's really easy, okay? Everything comes pre-measured and labeled meal kits so you know which ingredient goes with which recipe. You're not going to spend all night in the kitchen. Not going to be a disaster. You're not going to screw it up. Easy, simple, and delicious. Each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients, which carefully selected farms and high-rated trusted sources. You have the classic, the veggie, the family. I've enjoyed HelloFresh. My daughter, Kate, is a massive Hello. I want to bring her in one time to do this because she makes them, she eats them, she loves them. She loves HelloFresh. Easy to cook, delicious, balanced, less than $10 a meal plus free shipping. No meal planning, no grocery shopping. You know, your day's busy. If you're like me and you have kids who have karate, softball, soccer, T-ball, baseball, school plays, and you're rushing around all day, you're done. You're done with this. HelloFresh takes care of it. Nice and easy. The food's good. It's fast. Believe me, it saves hours a week. The food's good. The prices are terrific. Go to HelloFresh.com, AboutMe30. Use the code AboutMe30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries with HelloFresh. Okay, how about the theory, and I've heard this espoused by others, and I've heard us, Jerry and I, blamed a lot for this, whether it's you or Tomasi or Tanguay or Trenny or whatever, that it's our fault, that we force you guys, that we ramp it up, that you guys have to say this. And I don't even think it's so much, honestly, it's not an ego thing. It's not so much a Jerry Callahan thing.
It's a
please Kirk Minahan thing.
Well, there's a couple. Well,
and as an adult man, I've had to face this with you. I've taken some of the minor shrapnel for it, not obviously to the degree you have.
You've walked out okay?
I've been fine.
Yeah.
I've been fine. But I have said, well, you know, Reamer's essentially a grown man. Like, you know, after like that, it is not my fault.
Oh, no, you didn't make me say that.
Right.
Well, there's a couple things, right? So I think if you go back to my history with your show, the other times in which I have crossed the line.
Moral 9/11.
That was like my first 3 weeks here.
I've been
with you guys, and a lot of that was the need to
trying to impress the seniors,
or like go to the next level, or being like it's like the looking glass stuff,
sociological term. But we don't do that. You feel like you want to get back every time. You feel like if you don't do a good job, you're in trouble.
Right. I never felt dumb.
That's a problem.
That's my problem. I think Mutt does that,
and Gary did that, and John did that.
This could be the morning where I'm never back again. But when I first came,
is that
on,
more of a me thing or a Jerry thing?
Definitely a you thing.
Okay.
When it was just Jerry, no nerves whatsoever.
No
loose atmosphere. Yeah, everyone's true. Jovial, joking
happy
around,
guy, smiling,
yes, absolutely.
Laughing. But I heard a lot of that. It's not fair, but this is happening a little bit because of Reamer. But not your fault, but you're getting some of the shrapnel. I thought, well, I understand it to some extent. But at some point, you got to say, well, A didn't say on our show.
No. Well, again, so that comment alone was me not thinking and just saying, let me just be the contrarian asshole. But there's no upside to that, right? Like, that's first of all, it's not funny. No one's going to laugh at that.
That was my other takeaway. I was like, boy, there's no upside.
Right. No one's going to be like, yeah, you know, Reamer's right. That 5-year-old girl,
It's the same thing in the way as calling Erin Andrews a bitch. There's nothing. First of all, it's not accurate. I don't know her. Secondly, it's not funny. There's no way to attach. It's just stupid. And I was in the same spot, much older, in a different spot professionally, but I was trying to be, okay, let's say something no one else is going to say. It's just fucking stupid.
Right. But that was my issue a lot. So when I'm on with you guys, like when I first came on, it was right before the election, Hillary Trump. I just come out publicly. So I felt like every time I came in, like my first few months with you guys.
You came out on our show publicly.
I did. Yes. There was a lot of juice. There was always juice. You know, me and Jerry were fighting about Trump every day. So I always felt like I had to take it. And you guys never told me this, but just in my mind, I'm like, I have to take it to the next level. And especially when we would start off with, like, let's say a sports hour, like you would do Patriots in the first hour. Typically, I didn't shine during that. So my opening always was headlines. Whenever there was headlines and there was politics, I would think in my mind, this has to be my chance to make a mark on the show today.
Right.
So let's not just disagree with Jerry and Kirk. You know, let's not just say, I think that Jane Fonda was fine going to Vietnam to protest the war, fine meeting with the Viet Cong.
Oh, yeah.
Let's take it to the next level and say, you know, I have no problem with her posing for pictures.
You took a lot of shit for that.
Right. And let's take it to the nth degree. Let's always go further than I need to.
I applaud that. I think that's a great instinct to some extent. But you know,
but you got to be smarter. You
have to be honest about it. That's all. Like when you're honest and you're behind it, unless it's really, you know, generally you're okay, I think.
Right.
Most of the time,
and that's a thing too. It just amplified it too much. But you know, and that Brady thing was the same thing again. How can I just be the contrarian asshole?
So how's it going to work? What's the roadmap?
I would love to. My roadmap.
You're doing these, you know, these blogs. They're fine.
They're excellent.
They're fine. It's your job.
Yeah. I mean, my roadmap is, I mean, ideally, we would publish this whenever. It would surface. I'd maybe do an hour or two with you guys, take my beating.
This is some dream scenario you've laid out.
And then I get reintroduced that way.
And we're all
start doing nights, weekends.
We're all best friends. You're a big star again.
We're best friends.
Back on TV. No TV bites since then?
A little necking. My friend Sue O'Connell.
Not really then.
But what do you think would happen? Like, let's say I was on this
Saturday
with Buck. What would happen?
I've said this to management. I said, you should put them on, you know, make sure everything's cool. Nobody's going to be affected. Nobody business-wise. And as long as it's all good, put him on. He's going to get the shit kicked out of him, but that's okay.
Fine.
And then next time, if you get the shit kicked out of you, you know, it's a 1 out of 10. If it's a 10, the next time it'll be a 9, then an 8, then
right,
an 8,
if we're afraid of bad callers. And, you know, and maybe people, maybe they say, well, you know, with Reamer at
it's
this.
Not callers, more social media. That's what
who
people
cares,
get.
Though?
Well, but they do.
Why?
Well, I can't answer that,
it's
but
like,
they do.
If you look at it, it's like 3 dozen
they look
people.
At, but they're also looking past that. They need 2 or 3 assurances, 2 or 3 head nods, and I think it goes
from
a long
who?
Way. From the Patriots, I would guess.
Oh, okay. Well, fine. Well, I'm not involved in those conversations.
Right, I don't, by the way, neither am I.
I don't even think the Patriots would care. I know, but
until they say they don't.
You just said they said they don't. They said, I don't want
to. What they said
to
me at the Super Bowl versus what they're saying conversationally.
Maybe. I don't know.
Negotiating contracts.
I find it hard to believe they say this guy you did weekends and nights.
I agree.
I don't think
I agree with you, but I'm saying, I agree, but I'm saying I don't know that. So,
sure.
My guess is if they had that and we knew for sure, I think we're pretty sure Brady's coming back next year. And, you know, and everything's cool. I think they're going to put you back on. I would hope so. Put him on the weekends for a couple of, you know, let him do the weekends. Let him get, you know, shit kicked out for a while, which is no big deal. People will tweet. They'll be mad, and then it'll go away.
Well, the Twitter thing, it's really like 3 dozen people, 4 dozen people. I mean,
I think the first time you're back, there would be a big.
So what? I mean, who cares?
Again,
though?
But we're having a conversation. I don't care either.
I mean, but it's so meaningless. Like, who's the average EEI listener? Someone who listens.
40-year-old guy
for
like
for 20, 25 minutes. Right. And that's it. And they listen on their right. drive. That is 95% of our audience.
But people hate you.
I think there's a solid majority out there.
by the way, that's a compliment. You know me. I like that. I don't care that people hate you. People hate me.
Well,
But I would say the difference is people hate me, but there are also people who listen to the show every day who kind of like me, too. This is
well, you
weird.
Well, you're better at the contrarian act than
well,
I
it's not an act. It's just... It's
well,
just,
you're just presented better.
Well,
show
just,
a little
but,
more
but I'm
humanity.
Also on the day for every 4 hours, and people right. know who I am. We've positioned you as somebody they hate.
And that's fine. And I like, and I should, you know what? And I should be hate. Like, I remember I did a show with Buck, like, a few months ago, and, like, Angelo and Everett called in and started ripping me. And I go to Buck during a break, and I said, you know what? That's good. Like, Angelo and Everett should dislike me on the air.
You're not what he listened to.
He should dislike me.
Correct.
It should be something different. And that's, again, I keep going back to, well, what's my pitch to get back? It's that. Like, I was on a lot and getting on more and more up until this happened. So clearly, management felt like whoever's in charge of programming felt like I added something to the air.
Here's my question.
So,
is Alex Reamer 2.0 going to be dickless?
No. I would have done the colon stuff. I mean, I would have done all that.
That's different.
What do you mean dickless?
Is he been neutered? Is he going to be the same guy? Is he thinking on the air? Should I say this? Should I go here?
I'll be more tactful.
Tactful.
More tactful.
We love tactful on the Kirk and Callahan show.
Well, Kirk, I mean, I will. Well, what I did a lot of his stuff, especially the politics stuff, was it's ironic, right? I come in with all my sheets of paper, but a lot of it was just flying off the handle. Like,
right.
What can I say to fully amplify this more? And yes, I will sit back and say, before I say this pretty polarizing take about the Bush family or whomever we're discussing, how will this play? Is this what's the risk reward here? So, yeah, there will be more of that. There has to be.
Who was more supportive during your darkest time, me or Jerry?
I talked to you a lot more than I talked to Jerry.
So who was more supportive?
You are more involved in the day-to-day operations of the station now.
That's true. Jerry's kind of retired now.
Well, Jerry goes home to his lovely family.
Yes.
But Jerry sent me some very nice, very uplifting texts.
He did?
Yes.
Uplifting?
Uplifting.
Oh, good.
Very nice,
like,
cuddly
like,
texts.
Like sayings? Or?
Hang in there, buddy. It'll be okay. We all
right.
get through. We all go through this.
Yes.
But you've been good. I mean, you've been a good ear to bounce off. I think you're always, you know, you always give a good.
Who has disappointed you during the whole process?
What do you mean?
Well, who did you... Like, I had people during the Aaron Andrews thing who I just said, all right, fuck them forever.
I didn't really hear from a lot of other people from the station when it all happened.
Yeah.
Like, you reached out, Jerry reached
no
out.
No Ordway,
Rob,
the host
Tomasi,
of... Glenn
did reach out.
Dale?
No.
No, I didn't. Sure,
I did, though, email Dale and everyone else when it all happened.
Oh, yeah, you sent that bullshit email.
It was a nice email.
Okay, I got that
I was
email.
Bleeding my heart
you
out.
Saw the
How
email.
Did you get that?
I get everything else.
You can't do anything in this building without you knowing.
Yes, I got that.
Like that morning after the Comcast beer when I came in to apologize and you got tipped off and you left. I'm like, who the fuck tipped Kirk off that I was coming in? Really? Really? But no, what disappointed me a little bit was, like, I'm friendly with a lot of
writers.
What
a psychological move that was.
Well, that's a whole different conversation. That is, yeah, well, that was handled very, very poorly.
By who?
On my end, it was.
That's all you need to hear.
None, well, I don't know why you did that, first of all.
Did what?
The Comcast band.
Band?
Ban. The
band.
Comcast
band.
Band.
It's not a group, Alex.
Sorry, it's been a while.
What do you mean? I don't even remember. Which one was this?
Well, when I did the Tony Robbins thing.
Yes.
And then that...
You didn't promote our show when you talked about Felger.
I know, but you
their
knew,
show gave the information
but
first.
But you knew that... First, it wasn't a breaking story.
Doesn't matter. You know
and
what
you
I mean?
Knew,
who sent you there? We're not rehashing this, but who sent you there?
You guys sent me
okay,
there.
Okay, so you know better. You know better than that.
Yes,
okay.
But that was played, and I played that very... And I, for whatever reason, didn't think, like, this is a bit. Let's just try to have fun with this. And
right.
I was like, oh my God, my world is collapsing. My world is ending. So let's just do anything.
Well, I wouldn't call
we
it
can.
A bit. I would call it... I was legitimately upset, but it was not a death penalty.
I know, but I was on that whole weekend.
The Curtis
right.
thing would have been a death penalty if Curtis hadn't stepped in.
Well, that... Yes.
And I understand the two of you have lunch now.
Curtis has been great through all this.
What
Curtis,
is that? Does it make you feel worse?
What?
About what you said?
No, he did.
About him?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, if we're being honest...
How many life lessons do you need, by the way? Like, are we done?
Three
we're good
straight,
now?
I'm like a cat. Okay. Nine lives. Well, well, if we're being honest, though, I mean, that is...
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, though, obviously.
My fault. Enough with this. Matt
what?
Reed, this just, has been hard on Matt Reed,
has it
most of all.
Been it's a tough
been,
time?
He's been trying to launch crusades to get me back. I'm like, nah, let's not do that.
Yeah,
you know?
Matt,
let's,
keep it in the fairway.
Let's not pay picketers outside EEI offices.
Is that what we're talking about doing?
They might show up. But that's, I mean, listen, the Brady thing was obviously a beyond
stupid thing to
say. I will, but the Curtis is really hard to for me to, that was just so despicable. And that, I think, was if it wasn't for Curtis, was a fireable offense.
And Curtis bailed you out for
it
sure.
Absolutely was. It absolutely was.
What were we talking about before that? The
But my thinking on that, though, was... I mean, we've never really talked about that. I mean, my
about
thinking,
what, Curtis?
Yeah.
Well, sure, we talked about it on the air.
Well, I had a different mindset, though, than I have now. When I mean, that was like I had to kind of fight for my life a little bit
you
when
sure
I
did.
Came in for my parole hearing.
You did.
Because if I walked in there...
Did a big number.
And was like, oh, I'm so sorry
no,
for doing
terrible.
This.
I didn't want that.
You would have hated it. Yes. Jerry, who had my side during all of it, would have been totally done.
Well, Jerry had to have your side because nobody else did. Like, I'm like Jerry, like... Personally, was like, you know,
well,
I really...
Well, how could you defend
I don't think really, I really agree with Alex, but it'd be like, you know, we have nine people going against you.
Right. So I'm saying, so that was, you know, that was not a time to show capitulation. That was a time to fight and show that I can kind of hang with the big dog.
We were lucky a couple weeks ago to go see Milton's. First of all, more enough about me with Alex in a second. But Milton's, we talk about Milton's all the time. We love them. We love Dana. We love Bill. We love all the people there. And get ready for the summer with Tommy. I use Tommy Bahama Vineyard Vines. Those are my clothes. I walk in there. There's stuff I like. I pick it. They help me also, by the way, pick stuff because I can be a disaster on my own. Milton's is the store for men. Very casual if you want that. If you want to look like $1 million with a suit, with a tuxedo, you can do that as well. But we know now in 2018, I'm looking around the office right now, nobody's going to wear a suit around here. You're going to wear something to look good. You wear a sweater from Tommy Bahama. You have a Vineyard Vine shirt on. You can you have comfortable pants. You can get the shoes you want in Milton's. You can look great during the day. You can go at night. You can look great. You can play golf. Go on your summer vacations. Milton's will take care of everything for you. And by the way, if you still need to wear a nice suit or go to a wedding for a tuxedo, Milton's will take care of that for you as well. The prices are great. The clothes are great. Most importantly for me, they are comfortable as can be. And I know when I go in there, they're going to help me look good at a great price. Milton's is the store for men. We are so happy. They're a sponsor of Kirk and Callahan and Enough About Me. South Shore Plaza in Braintree and Chestnut Hill Square. Chestnut Hill, once again, Milton's, the store for men.
What is your thought on the current status of the Kirk and Callahan show? Obviously, we had our downtime, but I think we've recovered.
Yeah, I listen. Listen every morning.
I'm sure you listen every morning.
Yes.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, every morning. I listen to. I have a ping. Was my name mentioned?
Tomasi gone.
He is.
Trenny gone.
I know. My pal Tren.
Gary gone.
We had a lovely dinner a few weeks
ago. The gang
ago.
Is all gone.
I know. Well, it's funny. You guys never had like the casting couch the way you envisioned it.
No, we could never get everybody.
Never get it right. Like when I first came on, Tomasi was banned. Tangley was banned.
Right.
Then last summer, I was banned.
Right.
And then in the fall, maybe for like a couple weeks this fall.
Well, we never had that. We never had that Trenny, Tomasi, Gary.
Me and Mutt.
You, Mutt, 5 days
never.
A week thing. Never happened.
Never
right
happened.
Now, we literally have Mutt and half of a show with Drellick because I can't do 4 hours with Drellick. Although he's good. I kind of like him. But
he's definitely weird.
Yeah, which we love. You know that.
I almost lived in the same apartment as Drellick.
Interesting. Save that for later.
I will. Save it for my weekend
podcast.
Debut.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So you're right, but we never quite... Do you have? So, I mean, well, you were in the room for the Tomasi thing.
I was.
I mean, you can't really blame me for being... I know you're a Tomasi guy.
I'm a huge Tomasi guy.
Your colleagues, I understand that, but... Knowing me as you do, I think you must understand my side of the fight. And by the way, you got a little mouthy in that meeting, too.
No, I didn't.
You did at one point, but that's okay.
I had to talk. I had to say something.
Nobody needed to hear from you. That meeting, by the way, turned out to, let's attack Kirk Minahan.
What, they were coming
which,
at you.
Which we knew was...
That's fine, though. People had grievances. That was an airing of grievances.
That's why, if you noticed, I moved my chair over closer to Rich and Dale, because I said, let's just do this.
Which is what Tomasi was doing. See, I don't think he was directly attacking you.
Of course he was.
It was more of a conversation about...
That's
why
not his spot. That was not his spot.
The state, well, he was in the room.
But he's part of our show.
But that was like an airing of grievances. Like, the station is in this precarious situation.
Alex, can I be honest? His life now is occasionally doing a show with Dale and does weekends with Trendy and Mark James.
I think he's fine with that.
Because I texted you once when you were doing a show with, what was it?
I
tweeted out when you were
Vellani
doing a show.
Or something?
No, the kid who does a show with Karin and
Tom
Holly.
Giles.
And I said, this is Reamer's hell.
I would take that hell any day of the week now.
Isn't that sad?
To what I have here.
See how
it
things have changed?
It is sad.
You're dying to do a weekend show with Tom Giles.
I am. Get back out there.
How about the rest of the station? What do you think?
To be honest, I listen to what I have to do my job, but I can't listen that much, like at nights or weekends or whatever.
It hurts.
It just, it sounds like corny.
Do you
does sound like corny and terrible, but it just makes me angry. So why would I do
that? Angry yourself?
Angry at myself and just angry that I'm not back out there. Yeah.
You've been disappointed before the podcast. You told me you've been disappointed in Bradford.
I have not been disappointed, Rob, at all.
Okay, red light Reamer.
You're making shit up.
Tactful, Mr.
Never,
tactful.
Never. Rob has been an unbelievable ally through all of this.
And how the fuck has he helped you?
He's
you're
supportive.
On the radio and you're doing a blog post.
He's been very supportive.
What kind of ally has he been?
Well, he could have been hard on me and it would have really sucked and I would have had people coming at me from all angles.
He's going to be good. The website people all good?
All good.
You can still write whatever you want?
Yeah, to my knowledge.
Rob, after that, was like, you got to check in if you're going to do Patriots or this and
no,
that.
No. And you know what? And that's, I've written a lot about the Patriots because I say, fuck it. You know, those people are going to hate me regardless. So I'm just going to do it. I've not changed my
well, I like the Patriots focus we have on the station website, which kind of gives both sides. You and Tomasi, which I think
we're
is
the same.
Which is a good blend.
The same.
The listeners, the readers really like you guys.
I know.
Can we hire, like, I don't know, whoever fucking, who's a homer Patriot? Can we Dan Roach to write for the fucking website?
I know. It's the same over and over. But, and, you know, the articles still do well. The Patriots stuff hasn't suffered, you know,
as well as
then.
My column. Big numbers.
Well, that's media, as we discussed.
Big numbers.
The media stuff. And that's
how about Kirk Minahan coming out of retirement?
Are you guys, is that going to be a regular thing?
No, it is not.
No?
It is not.
That was well done. How long did that take you?
To write it?
I mean, a lot of work.
Listening, writing. It took me the better part of the weekend. I'd say probably 6 or 7 hours.
It's a great piece. But as we know, media stuff does well.
Yeah, no matter what whether you do it on the air or on the... Yeah, well, you should be the full-time media critic.
I would.
That was my original pitch for you.
It's a job I would relish. I do media stuff. I bag on ESPN for the website.
What is the future? Everyone wants to know. Everyone's always asking me the future of the Two Outs podcast.
Oh. We're trying to put some episodes together.
Is Buck hanging in there? I mean, is he not interested?
Well, Buck has a lot going on with the Herald right now.
What? A lot going on with what?
Well, he's been change in management, change in editors.
How's
over
that affecting
there?
Doing a podcast for an hour on Tuesday?
Well,
we've got
a
manager
put
at the Herald.
He's been traveling a lot. He's been doing a lot of events, but we've been trying to get an episode together.
Events?
Well, he's been covers stuff. We've been trying.
He always has. What the fuck are you talking about?
Well,
what are you not telling me? What?
Well, we did one a couple weeks ago, and he was too busy for that.
Okay, what's the next one?
I don't know. I have to think of a good guest. Oh. I mean, I don't feel like I'm like, I feel like it's weird doing the Two Outs podcast when I'm not on the air in any role. It feels like this weird, like, alternate universe.
Well, it's your chance to talk.
Talk about what, though?
Anything you want to talk about. No?
Yeah, I mean, no one's put constriction.
What?
Never mind. No one's restricted what I've been
what is it?
Viola. Yeah, I mean, no one's said what I can and can't say, but it's just been finding like the right episode, the right.
What do you miss most about the Kirk and Callahan show?
The juice.
That's it.
The
being
juice.
In the middle of it.
Being in the middle of it. I mean, I love it. That's
you
why love
the show like today or the last couple of days, right?
Would you say
you would have loved the last couple of days?
I would have loved it. And so the Colin, that's another thing.
You're not as good as mud at it, but you know it's.
Well, you guys did a lot of Colin stuff, and I wasn't going to piggyback on that. But I have been kicking myself a little bit that I haven't done some of my own research, read some of the comms myself, listened to some of those interviews. I mean, that's something that, you know, I'm perfectly capable of doing too. Yeah, I loved all that stuff. I love being on the show. I've always loved being in the center of it. I mean, this is what I've wanted to do for as long as I can remember.
I think it's going
to
be okay. That's my prediction. 3 months ago, 2 months ago, even 6 weeks ago, I said, you know what? But I actually feel, again, it depends. You know, one or two nods, and I think you're back in business. Honestly, I don't know if it's going to be where the station's going to say, you know what? We can't have him on the show where Brady's on. I have no idea
and
about.
And that would be a business decision that I obviously wouldn't like, but I would
understand.
You're
going to lose that war against Tom Brady. That's just the way it is.
I totally understand.
It would suck for us. I would say even like 2 months ago, part of me was like, we just can't have this fucking kid on anymore after the... The veteran stuff, which I didn't think that more was a station thing than mine. Like, you had an opinion. It's fine. We disagree with it. That's part of the job. We say we have his back. But I was like, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I think even on the air, I was like, he's never going to be on the air again. But I actually feel different now. And that happens with time, too, though. Things, I will say, this is the longest suspension
in the history of WEI. Yeah.
Look at
history
radio. I mean, getting paid, but still, it is weird that you want to do more stuff for free.
Well, like I said, this is my opportunity. I mean, I've always wanted to do this. And that's the thing, again.
Have you looked outside any other jobs in the past few months?
I'm committed to making things work here.
So you've done nothing. You haven't looked at any other jobs.
I'm committed
outside the market.
I'm committed to making.
Tango said TMZ.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do for TMZ. Be hiding it as a paparazzi, like LAX, in the bushes at LAX. It's not really what I want to do. But again, that's what's been just so hard to kind of grasp. Like if I was like a fill-in once in a while guy and I said this Brady stuff, I would totally understand the station's like, well, we're never having this guy on again.
But I think what you said earlier is right, though. Because I think you're really good in the radio, you know that. But I think they look at it and say, well, there's no dollar value to this.
But there could be down the line.
Sure.
But
in this business, Alex, nobody looks 3 weeks ahead. They look at tomorrow.
But the way I view it, I was brought back here. I'm getting paid my full salary. I feel like I was brought back for a reason because they felt there was some sort of value to me. This is not a feel-good society. So I was brought back. I was an asset before. Let's see if I can do it again. And you don't know until you try.
Yeah,
you don't know until you try.
I'm with you.
So that's just my standpoint. I mean, I wish I had a better argument, but I think it just comes down to I'm good at this job. I've shown I can do this job. I'm in-house. You don't have to go outside to have somebody do a lot of these hosting openings that we have now. So let's do it. It's time.
Okay, I'm with you. All right. Anything else? Anything you want to ask me before we go? It's a rare opportunity.
I know it is a rare opportunity. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
With the show,
fine. The show's we had some down in February. As I've said, I think on the air, Fort Myers Monday morning segment. Jerry's voice was shot.
It was.
The training was that Friday before. Nobody at the Red Sox wanted us in Fort Myers. We didn't want to be in Fort Myers. We felt like we had all the restrictions of the world put on us. Went to break at 6:28 or whatever, and I turned to Jerry and I was like, "We're fucking. I don't know how we'll ever do a show again." Well, and we've managed to, in the last couple of months, figure it out.
Well, I think, I haven't sensed it too much recently because you guys have had this Cullen stuff, but I've sensed this Kirk-Jerry tension that I'm not sure has fully gone away yet.
Well, I don't think, but here's the difference, and I think you're right, but here's the difference is, John and I and Jerry had real tension. We didn't get along off the air. Jerry and I get along off the air. Great. Yeah. But we do have, like today, Drella came in, and Jerry's instant reaction is, we have to do a baseball segment with him. My reaction is, well, why? It's not the most interesting thing right now, as we found out with the Cullen stuff. And, he's not into it. We can kind of make fun of him. And Jerry's interviewing him. And Jerry still, at his core, wants to do more sports than I do.
Well, and I also think Jerry is much more issue-based than you are. I mean, you, to be honest, kind of are tired of the Trump thing.
Yeah, right now. Well, there's been nothing really new.
But Jerry would do Trump all, every day there's a Trump
story.
I actually
feel like this for the first time, some national Trump fatigue.
I don't know about that.
I just think it's sort of the same thing over and over.
Cable news
now.
Ratings haven't suffered.
Sure, but I mean, it's like, okay, he's dumb. I get it. He's dumb. He's going to tweet something dumb. Whatever he tweets, it's not going to happen. We're not going to go nuclear war next. He hasn't done that insanely crazy thing.
But you like the Mutt Dreyer show that Jerry mentions a million times. You like doing that kind of
show. And that show in the Daily did a huge number.
But Jerry has no interest in that.
None.
Jerry likes
to
do issues. And I think you really see it over the summer, right? When it's Jerry with whomever, it's much
different
more issue-based. And I think also, now you guys have seemed to move past this, but when the edict first came down, we're going to try to be a little careful here. It was right when the Parkland shooting happened. You had Jerry talking about
David. We did shows on it, but yeah.
Right, but Jerry's going off on David Hogg, and it's right after the Laura Ingram stuff.
Well, we thought about it.
You did, but I think, you don't want to do X's and O's sports. You do not want to do that.
I have no interest in
doing
that.
Your view is, if I can't go here with some of the social and political stuff, then let's make it more of a variety show type.
Well,
let's be a little goofier.
Let's stick around.
Let's have a little fun. Let's have
exactly.
Curtis do an hour and Mutt produce.
Right.
I don't think Jerry likes doing that.
Well, I don't think he's, not that he's incapable, but it's just not the way his mind works.
Right.
And I don't want to sit there. I really have no interest today in doing 4 hours on the thing in Toronto because I don't. Where's the argument?
Right.
Guns are okay, great, or whatever. Some guy, terrorism, it's not terror. I'm sort of at the what's left to say stage.
Right.
When something is totally new and different, Jerry was critical of David Hogg. I wasn't. And we went at it. So, but you're right. I do think that there's two different, not philosophical strong, but there's two different ways. We look at it, though. I think the last couple of weeks, actually, when the two of us have done shows, best shows we've done together in a long time.
Well, the Cullen stuff's been great.
And we've sort of clicked in, the Cullen TV show stuff.
And that stuff is just so easy because it's so, there's just such a vacuum for media criticism, media watchdog stuff.
It's incredible.
And it's what's always gotten the read. People always say, Alex, you're exactly like Kirk. You talk about the media. I came to that realization when I was in college. I was writing for a website that no one ever read, and I was like, the only articles I ever write that get clicks are when I do media stuff.
Well, that's what I found out here.
So I was like, why don't I try to make that a little more of my niche?
Well, the other thing is, I've gotten more Twitter reaction to this Cullen thing the last few days and anything, honestly, anything I've ever done, ever. During the show, I'll look now, they'll still be. And, you know, one of every three or four are like, you know, the Bruins are in the playoffs. Yeah. And it's kind of like, well, yeah, I understand that. And I watch the games. Like last night, I watched the game. Today, I have much more on my mind about Cullen than I do about the Bruins game last night. I'm looking forward to Game 7, and we'll react to if something interesting happens. If nothing
see,
interesting
happens.
See,
I think happens. You lie a little bit about your hockey fandom, though.
What do you mean?
Like, do you watch a lot of Bruins?
During
like,
the season?
What do you say on the air? Like, I watch the Bruins. I love the Bruins.
I've never said I love the Bruins on the air. That I can promise you I've never said.
I love playoff hockey. No, it's the greatest thing in the world.
There's nothing better than the Game 7. I've said that.
It's very exciting.
I watched. I'm looking at you. I would not lie to you. I watched every minute of every Bruins game this year, preseason, regular season, and postseason.
No, you didn't.
Did not miss a shift.
Not a shift. Yeah. No. Jack Edwards, Andy Brickley.
Yeah. Oh, National. I watch every Red Sox game. I watch every Celtics game. Everything. I actually watch. You'd be surprised. I watch three or four different NHL games a year.
At the time?
Yeah.
I have
two or three different TVs going. Yes.
I watch Matto.
So you think... So you think the Callahan-Minahan thing is going to turn ugly?
I don't know. I think you guys are in a role now with the Cullen stuff, but I think there's a little bit of a tug and pull. I mean, you guys work best when you're together. Let's be honest.
You think so?
Yes. But there's some philosophical differences there, sure, that I think come out more when it's a slow time.
True.
When you guys don't have a topic to really.
The beauty of Jerry is, though, that like I think he's eventually is like, you know what? He's just going to beat me down. Like I'm not going to win this argument. So after a while, he says, fuck it.
Well, as he always says, he's here to manage you.
Right. And if I don't like it, to his credit, if he doesn't like it, he does the show. If I don't like it, I pout and I get quiet and I just sit. Like today, Drellican, I sat out for 20 minutes. I was like, this is so fucking boring. They're talking about Mookie Betts' bat speed.
And I did hear that segment.
And my thing is our listeners now over the last couple of years are conditioned to hear some kind of show. And if they don't hear that show, they're thinking, well, this is the kind of show they make fun of. So what are we doing?
Well, I mean, a great point about, you know, and we've talked about this before. I think the success of your show is that you don't necessarily need the local teams to be doing really well or firing on all cylinders to generate captivating content. You're not reliant on that, which used to be the old formula sports radio, right? Like you're only as good as right. the team storyline.
But nobody knew if that was actually true or not because it was still in its infancy.
No, and I view it as a listener, like before I came on here, I was a huge fan of your show. I loved the media stuff. I loved the internal station gossip. Like
sure,
that,
everyone loves like that. Well, some people don't, but a lot of people like
that as a listener is what I was most interested in.
Right.
So when you go on the air, I'm always like, well, I'm just going to do what I'm more interested in talking about.
So you'll be back on the Kirk and Callahan show in 2018. Yes or no?
Yes.
You say yes.
Okay. I mean, I think once, it's all about just getting, I mean, not to go back again.
It's with your heart, not with your head, that pick, I think.
You think so, really?
No, your heart. Did I say your heart?
My heart, yeah.
Yeah, your heart. That's a heart pick.
You think so, really?
Yeah.
So what do you think happens, though, honestly? Because we are at a total
I won't lie to you.
Standstill. I don't know. I have not had a lot of, I don't know. I am in the dark.
It's a strange jacket.
It's a good jacket.
I would say,
Would you prefer I wear my jean coat?
No. let me think. I'm thinking what people are going
to
say.
Like, what do you think the mindset is to keep me off? Like, he's just, like, he might just say something crazy, like, the first time back.
I think they're waiting for some assurances that when there are off seasons, people go different places and it's not their top priority. I'm going to say yes. Yes. I'm going to say yes.
Really?
Yes. Like, Harry would say yes, 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 yes.
Great wrestling podcast with Harry.
Harry's good, right?
I could give him the keys to my old wrestling podcast, No Holds Barred.
He could take over?
He could be talking about CM Punk.
He's very excited.
All those guys.
Battle Royal he wants to go to this weekend. Unfortunately, it's in Saudi Arabia, so I don't think we're going to go.
That would not do well in the Middle East either.
No, you would not.
I know.
That's a big controversy. No women wrestlers allowed at this thing. And no women allowed in the stands at this event.
Oh, I see.
This is my life now. I know more about wrestling than you do.
I do.
All right, I'm predicting yes. We'll find out. We're going to hear yourself on this, on the Kirk and Callahan show Thursday and Friday. That I can promise.
Oh, this is going to be played this week?
Yes, yeah, we'll have it up.
You're not going to wait till a slower time? I want kind of a Reamer-centered show. You guys have the NFL draft Thursday.
I'm not in Friday, so I think it'll be Thursday. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe you'll be in Friday for me.
Thinking with my heart, not my head, I would love that.
All right, Alex, I'll talk.
Bye, Kirk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.